Okay, so we're going to continue. And remember, I said we're going to do a quick review over these seven spiritual health habits that we talked about last week. We're going to do that real fast. And y'all had some homework. And I knew Tina would do the homework, and Tina's not in here. But hopefully, some of you did. So, who came up with a scripture for the spiritual health habit number one, the daily check-in? Oh, awesome, Sister Boggs.
I put Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me.
Awesome. I love that. Okay, so I'm only going to ask for one scripture because I looked up a scripture too in case that's not the same one. So I found 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether or not you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? So that's the daily check-in. Then we'll go to number two, take a breathing space. Did anybody find a scripture for that one? Sister Boggs, did you do that one? Did you do them all? I knew Tina would do it for sure, but like I said, she's the one morning she's not here. Okay, give us your scripture.
Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth.
Awesome. I think I used that on one of them. Oh, it wasn't that one. I think I might have switched them out. So I found Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Okay, and spiritual health habit number three is, am I doing this? Am I looking at it wrong? Okay. That's the one
Number two.
I read.
There's another two.
Oh, well, then I made a mistake on the slide. There we go. No wonder I was confused. I must have had two twos. All right. So, spiritual health habit number three, move more slowly. And this is where I use the same verse Sister Boggs did for rest. I think I had them and I switched them. So, mine was Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. But what other scripture did someone find besides Sister Boggs? Okay. This is your deal.
Psalm 62:1, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation.
Awesome. Thank you. And spiritual health habit number four, get enough rest. What did you find for that one?
I may have wrote down the
Okay.
scripture, but.
I'll read mine while you're looking it up. Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety.
I found Mark 6:31, and he said unto them, come you yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat.
Awesome. So I like that example because Jesus knew that that was important. He took care of himself. He also made sure that he was taking care of his followers. Spiritual health habit number five, practice gratitude. What do you have for that one, Sister Boggs? Okay, I'll read mine. We're getting a pattern here now that we're almost done. I found 2 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Second Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God.
Awesome. Thank you. We haven't doubled up on any except for both using the rest one so far. Okay, spiritual health number six, live one day at a time. So I found Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself.
Psalms 37:25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread.
Awesome. Thank you. And spiritual health habit number seven, be kind. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up.
Awesome. And who knows what charity means? Another word for it? Love, right? Okay, so this week we're talking about paying attention to the inner life without self-absorption. So what does self-absorption mean to you? Somebody give me your definition of what self-absorption is for the boss.
Like a narcissist.
Okay. Okay, give an example of a narcissist.
Okay, it's all about me, about giving to me, taking care of me, looking at me, all my needs. Oh no, I'm been hurting on this, I'm hurting on that, I need this deliverance, I need this material thing, I need this financial thing, I need this personal.
Very good. So basically, that's my will, not God's will, right? And also, we all have emotions. You may think you're struggling worse than other people, but that's because we all wear a mask, don't we? You know, when you say, how are you doing, sis? Oh, I'm doing fine. That's what we just say, you know. And you may not be, but do you really want to be that person, or do you like talking to the person that always says, oh, let me tell you what happened, and then they tell you their whole long list of calamities? So that's somebody who it's their emotions are overtaking them instead of them letting the Spirit of God and the Word of God speak life into them. Not discrediting emotions at all. It's just that our focus needs to be where? On God, yes. And God can help us through the calamities that we go through, and we all do. He can help us through those rough patches and emotional, you know, anxiety and depression and things like that. So I loved this poo thing that I found. Becoming less reactive is a huge part of growth and decreasing stress. If you let everything get you worked up, you're damaging your mind, your body, and your spirit. Okay, so I want to ask someone to just expound on that. How do you interpret that from Pooh and Eeyore? Brother White?
Maintain balance without losing reality.
Good. That's good. So I wrote down some notes about this. What I thought it was speaking to me is life is not all about you, you, you. Me, me, me. sometimes we react too rashly and too harshly without taking into consideration others' points of view. If a person operates solely on being reactive to situations, how can it damage their mind, body, and spirit? Who can answer that? If somebody only is reactive to things that, like, let's say you just said something to me that offends me, and then I lash out at you. I mean, reactive to anything, become emotional, let it get to them. How can that affect their mind, body, and spirit? How can that affect that person that's being reactive? Go ahead.
If you're just always reacting to everything, your anxiety levels are always going to be up, your emotions are always going to be up, and you're never going to be able to actually be calm and rest and focus on the good things that you do have in your life. And 9 times out of 10, when you're reacting to something, it really doesn't matter in the whole scheme of things anyway. So you're just causing yourself craziness for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Remember the spiritual health habit about breathing? Stop, pause, breathe. So when our little grandson starts to get upset, his mom always says, Nolan, stop and breathe. And then, inhale, exhale. And I had you all do that. And I like to use my hands. Sometimes they do that in nursing homes with exercises. They do things that they have you do stuff, and then you could feel it release the stress in your whole body. So, yes, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say a good example of that would be Christ on the cross. It would have been very easy for him to say, all of you are going to be killed. But instead he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, you know, if he'd been self-centered, he would have called legions of angels down to take him off the cross. But he didn't do that because the picture was much bigger than the cross itself.
Very good example. So, again, I like that because it's a Christ example. So, yes, he, you know, that think of all the pain and agony and mental anguish he was going through, but he was still full of compassion. And if we're trying to be like Jesus, what would Jesus do? We too need to practice compassion. Okay, so try to look at the big picture God is painting instead of, oh, it's all about me. Okay, so that's what we're trying to talk about here. So needlepoint example. You probably have, I've heard this preached many times by many different preachers. When needlework is done and you flip it over on the backside, it is a mess of threads and it just looks terrible. But then when you, and that sometimes we feel that way about our lives, right? I mean, life is kind of that way. That is life, you know? Things happen. It rains on the just and the unjust, and that's just life. But when you flip it over, God, if God is the needle pointer, the person who's doing the needle point, you flip that over, it's a beautiful picture. So just remember that our life is a tangled mess. So is everybody's. It's not just mine. Everybody's is a tangled mess. But God has the big picture in mind. I mean, he's got the whole world in his hands, right? So he is taking the trials and the things we go through and making it into something beautiful. So we need to keep that insight in view, keep Jesus in view. So everything is not about you. You need to use compassion by thinking about others' perspectives and circumstances instead of just being reactive to how you feel. And again, the breathing. Count to 10 and breathe in and then breathe it out. You're supposed to breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth, really slowly when you breathe it out. And just before you say anything, you've probably heard that. If you feel like you're going to be reactive, count to 10 first, slowly. And you should breathe at the same time, and it'll make things better. In fact, you might even decide, okay, I don't need to say anything. So that's probably the best, best thing to do in most circumstances. So you feel the pain, the frustration, and the anger of life and circumstances and things that we go through. But God knows the outcome or the reason for the pain. And that is paraphrased from something that Pastor Damesworth preached on February 25th. And just remember, pain is a touchstone for spiritual growth. Who in here has read that book? And I read it decades ago, but I still remember it. The Pilgrim's Progress. Only three of us? Well, I thought I was like required in elementary school or middle school or something. Well, if you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, read it. It's about a man named Christian who's going through life, and he has all these obstacles, and that will really help you understand. So that is your homework. This being the last session, that's your homework until we do another pathway, is to read Pilgrim's Progress.
You can also go and watch the movie of it, too. It's easier to comprehend, especially if you get like sidetracked easily reading. I watched the movie in school, and it was so much easier. So much easier to comprehend.
I didn't even know there was a movie. That's awesome. Well, yeah. So if you're a read, write, learner, read the book. If you're a visual and an audio learner, watch the movie. And most of us are kind of becoming more visual and audio because, you know, that's life too. It's all coming at us all the time. It is the deepest pain that empowers you to grow into your most spiritual self. Feels like a mess, looks like a mess, but I know for a fact there are many of us in here that know exactly what that sentence is saying. We've gone through unspeakable things, things that we don't talk about, we try not to think about, and yet I can look back and see that my walk with God, I'm so much closer to him now than if I hadn't been through some of those things. So the pain you feel today is the strength you'll feel tomorrow. Push through it. There's a reason for every hardship. Nothing worthwhile ever came from easy times or simple lessons. Spiritual and soul growth comes from perseverance, belief, courage, and strength. Have faith in the journey. I'm not sure where I got that from. I want to say I got that off of Facebook. But there was no, yeah, I got it from Facebook, but there was no, what's the word I want? No credit. Given. So I'm not sure. I think I found that on Facebook. So here's a verse that goes with that, what we just talked about, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You got to stand on his word. You got to believe his word, right? His word is truth. So I want someone to give an example of what can happen if you focus too much on yourself and your feelings instead of God's big picture. Kind of goes with the question that Sister Williamson answered, but thinking about the big picture, what if you're not thinking about the big picture and you're find yourself becoming more self-centered? What can happen to you and what can you do to remedy that or to help it? Yes, for the white.
Put on your number one to-do list for life not to live by your feelings. Be proactive early in the day, and that will help you not be reactive later in the day.
I love both of those statements. That's awesome. Remember, we talked about how God multiplies our time if we put Him first, start out your day. It was at the leadership conference we went to, and I can't remember their names, but he said, I wanted to wake up in the morning after I heard them say, you just throw up your hands before you get out of bed and just shout and praise the Lord. And they had a newborn baby. Yeah, so some of you were there for that newborn baby. And he got up and started to do this. He said, what are you doing? Because she didn't want that baby to wake up. But you can still praise the Lord in your heart or go find your quiet place and get in the Word and pray. And it does make a remarkable difference in your day. I was like night and day. It really is. Okay, so the other topic we're going to talk about is growing emotional maturity alongside spiritual maturity. Are you a growing Christian? That's a question to ask yourself. We're going to just touch briefly on emotional maturity. So there's a comparison chart up here. Behaviors, if you're either, this column is you're emotionally mature and this one you're emotionally immature. Okay, so the orangish red ones are the bad ones. So if you're in your behaviors, you're emotionally mature if you take responsibility, you're immature if you're blaming others. Make sense? That kind of goes with the reactive thing too. In your communication, you're mature if you're open and honest. You are immature if you're defensive and reactive. Okay. And the third one, in relationships, you're mature emotionally if you build trust and respect, and you're immature if you're creating conflicts, a person who likes to create conflicts and stir up trouble. I mean, that's very brief and very simple, and I'm not a psychologist, and we can't go into all that stuff. Again, we all struggle with all of this. We struggle with being emotionally mature and emotionally immature. But again, there are things you can think about and work on and go to the Word of God to help you with that. So that's emotional maturity. Now, this is a quote from Rick Warren. Spiritual maturity is neither instant nor automatic. It is a gradual, progressive development that will take the rest of your life. I have a note here. If you're too physically tired or hungry to worship fully, or you're too depressed to get out of bed to go to church, these are examples, you're falling asleep in church and not feeling God's Spirit and not flowing in the Spirit. Makes sense? We talked about that a little bit last week. So 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. This is a process. Our whole life here, like in Pilgrim's Progress, it is a process, but we are hopefully progressing to become more like Jesus, to get to know Him better. So you have to start out new. Remember, new Christians, they need milk. Some of us in here probably still need milk. And then you grow spiritually until you start partaking of spiritual meat. And we could go a whole session just on that, but we'll keep going. Here's another verse, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, please give me the wisdom to separate my feelings from the truth and to recognize the difference between your will and my will. So on this picture, I know it's a little hard to see probably these words, but how do I discern God's will? Here's how we start out, and this is where we're going. Is this the right way? Maybe it's this door. There's too many options. What does the Bible say? I better go pray some more. So that is a visual of, this is common. We all go through this stuff. Oh, Lord, what's your will? But this is what we're aiming for. And if you really want to know the will of God, you're going to stop. You're going to turn off your brain and stop trying to work out your problems on your own. Instead, think, well, okay, go to the Word of God, because that's a word from God. God can speak to us, too. And when we pray, that's usually when that's going to happen. When you pray, that means if you're blah, 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 talking the whole time to God, maybe you need to stop, breathe, rest, be still, and know that I am God, and stop and take the time to listen. And sometimes that's all it takes to know. It's a peace that'll come over you when you're like, oh, yeah, that your way is better than my way. Your ways are higher than mine. If I had done it that way, that would have really been a mess. And so I'm glad I took the time to listen to you, Lord. Has anybody raised your hand if you've experienced that before?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Good. We make a mess of things when we try to do it ourselves. So John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God's truth is greater than my truth. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lord, I will follow the path you have set before me. And that's a paraphrase of the same verse. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 55:8-9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Thank you, Jesus, for that. What are some things you can do to grow in your spiritual maturity? This is kind of a summary because we've talked about this before, but go ahead and name some things.
I remember what Pastor Gainsborough said when he was preaching one time, and he said doing the same thing gets the same results. So in your prayer life, you're reading your Bible, things you do for the Lord, change it up. Don't always do the exact same thing. Now, I do have a prayer list of names and people and situations I pray over, but there's sometimes I choose not to call that out because the Lord knows all that. He's heard me say it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's good to change up your prayer life and your situations when you look for God.
Amen. I do the same thing. When I get to know people or know situations, I add them to my notes on my phone, and I do call them out. And then I'm like, my list keeps growing. Okay, God knows. And then sometimes I just pray a blanket prayer over my CLC church family or people we work with or people that live in our neighborhood or whatever, because sometimes that could almost be a waste of time. Because sometimes, even though it's not self-absorption, it's just taking care of ourselves. We're talking about trying to take care of our body, our mind, our emotions, our spirit. Sometimes we have to rest, stop, listen to the Lord. So if we're just reading off a list of names all the time, do you think that's as beneficial as us getting closer to God and building our relationship to be closer to God? So sometimes we do have to take care of ourselves, as we've seen in these lessons. We've been talking about ways to do that. Yes.
Well, I was thinking of that scripture you read a few minutes ago. I've heard it quoted 100 times over about, anyways, you said, thee called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. I've always heard it quoted, and the definite article is not in there when they quote it from the pulpit. But when you see the definite article, it points to you who are the called.
Yes.
Which will help you focus more on what God wants you to do versus a blanket, well, there are people that are called, but that's not me. That specifically says the call.
Doesn't that make you so thankful for the grace of God? Yes. He's calling us the called. Yes. That is just, you know, like we are sons and daughters of God. You know, it's just so, it's so meaningful. It is more meaningful with a the in there, that's for sure. Lots of people don't quote it that way. We are the called. That's awesome. Anything else that anybody wants to add to some things you can do to grow in your emotional and spiritual maturity? Brother Taylor.
Psalms 81:10 talks about open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And then the next verse said, they would not listen. He said, if you had listened, this would have happened for you. This would have been good for you. I would have helped you and everything, but I don't know, sometimes I used to teach at the jail, and I'd be teaching, and all of a sudden, something would come out of my mouth, and I'd say, where'd that come from? It only comes from one place, God.
Mm-hmm.
If yep. you'll do this, the pastor will do this, and God will do this.
Mm-hmm.
Repent, be baptized in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Listen. Just open your mouth wide and let Him do it.
Yes. So what's that song? Here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. And I can't remember the rest. Sing it for us, Sister Suzanne.
Oh, no.
Yes, just the chorus. Yes, please.
Head of heaven, feed me till my Lord no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up and make me
whole. Yes, thank you. Beautiful voice. Awesome. So, yeah, you have to rest. You have to take care of yourself. And if we're running, trying to do everything on our own, how are we going to have time to stop and listen to what God is trying to say to us? And remember, His ways are better than our ways. Okay, well, I went through all 36 slides. I was nervous about it. Now I'm done early. That's okay, because this last one is discussion time. So we're not only going to talk about what we've talked about today, but in this entire pathway, including when Brother Branham taught the second week, what other comments or insights do you have about this March pathway, which is about your emotional maturity and your spiritual maturity and how they interact? This is your time. I've been talking most of the time. You guys have been really good with your interactions and your comments and your questions. I really appreciate that. And now this is discussion time. We're here to learn from each other. You can give an example, and we try to keep it to 30 seconds to a minute for whatever you're going to tell, if you're going to tell a story or whatever. But help it, maybe something you've been through or something you've learned that works that could be a help to your brothers and sisters that are here today.
Well, I think sometimes we get so caught up in doing that we forget that we need to take time for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's important to think about other people. It's important to pray with other people, be concerned for them. But sometimes we forget that we are part of us. And so if we don't take care of ourselves, how can we help anybody else? This has been very good, just talking about just slowing down and thinking about not just other people, which is very, very important part of ministry, but ourselves too, mm-hmm. emotionally as well as physically.
Very good. Yes, that's Amen. So true. And it's kind of a blanket statement, but women, I think, struggle more with that because we think we have to do everything for everybody else.
Yeah.
And we do. We've got a list a mile long and it never ends. And you can work constantly and still have a million things on your list. It's just the way it is. And I'm not saying men don't have that same problem too, but I just know a lot of women that kind of burn themselves out doing too much for everybody else. And then they end up having health problems. Like autoimmune diseases, which I think is why that's 90% women that have that. So, and you know, maybe we're just not strong enough. I don't know. But with God, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We just have to put Him first. Okay. Other comments, questions, examples you want to give? Yes.
For me, out of the last 4 weeks, a lot of what I've been thinking about is for my emotional and spiritual growth, it gets down to what I take in and what I put out. And what I take in is going to affect what I put out. So when I think about taking in the godly things or making sure prayers in my life and godly things and behaviors and things, I'm taking those things in and listening to the Lord, then it definitely affects what I put out in my life. We talk about being reactive. If I'm taking in godly things in my life, the scripture, the word, the preaching, the study, and everything else in my life, when I do react or have to react, then hopefully those behaviors that I've taken in is going to affect how I do react. So I just thankful for the Lord that I know if I'm walking with Him every day, that He's walking before me wherever I have to go.
Good, good. So Jesus is the bread of life, and He's the well that never runs dry, right? So He's food and drink for us. And in the Bible, it talks about, it might be referring to the end times where their God is their belly. Let's let our belly be hungry for God, which is the bread of life and the living water, instead of for the things of the world. And I'm not just talking food. I'm just talking about busyness, things like that. You know, remember that God is your sustenance. You couldn't live without Him. You know, or if you try, you're probably not going to be a very happy person, because it's a lot easier when you've got the Lord on your side and you trust Him. Any other comments, questions?
There's a lot of people that's not in this class. I love this class, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
So all the stuff we've learned to help ourselves, let's also turn around and help others with it. To ask the Lord, not just go up to any random person, but ask the Lord specifically, who He wants us to help learn what we've learned from this class and to pass it on. It's good to pass on stuff. When you go through things from the past, whatever God's put you through to make you stronger, you can pass it on to somebody that's going through the exact same thing.
I love that. That's awesome. So Sister Pratt has been taking our extra handouts, and she's taking them to the prison ministry. And I was going to tell you, I'll just tell you now for everybody, we can go back and print as many as you need of all four lessons. Just let us know, and I'll make sure somebody can, because I know sometimes we're just giving you our leftovers. So, and you can make more copies of them, too. Do they have a printer at the jail that you can? Okay. All right. Well, let me know if you want, like, week one and week two, because I don't think we gave you any of those. Okay, Brother Bellamy.
Yes, we all go through tests, trials, and pressures. And instead of letting those pressures get to us, we need to embrace those things and realize that the pressure we're under today is the same pressure that God will use to make us unstoppable if we embrace those.
Amen. And to turn us to gold.
Yes.
Yes. That's awesome. Yes. Brother Ease.
So, a few years ago, my pastor in Jefferson City, I was reading about heaven, and of all the precious stones that the foundations and the wall was made out of, and not one of them was the diamond, which is the most precious of all stones. So, then I began to read a little bit more about how diamonds are made, and they are made by a pressure cooker of the earth. And it's a carbonite form, meaning that it takes the life substance of another to make the diamond. And then the diamond rises to the top. And then I looked out across the congregation, and I saw one with cancer, I saw one that had been in a divorce, and this, and this, and this. And the Lord said, why not diamonds? Why did I put diamonds in the foundation? Because these folks are not diamonds. They've gone through the pressures of life, and I'm bringing them forward through that.
Oh, I love that.
It helped me a lot to know that I may go through pressures, but there's nothing compared to what I'm going to receive when I get over there.
That's right. What a great analogy. Thanks for sharing. For the Boggs?
Oh,
you're praising the Lord. Oh, no, I can't see y'all when I sit there, but I just had to sit down for a minute. Anything else? This is your time. Yes, thank you.
As you guys know, I'm not a regular here at church anymore, but I just want to say that, being involved and staying involved with the church is really important. You know, I do a lot of traveling, and I'm in a different town or whatever, I'm always looking for a church to go to, whether it be a Bible study on Wednesday night or an evening service on a Sunday, you know. But staying involved, you know, really helps with spiritual growth. As well.
It does.
And,
it does.
And that with driving, I listen to a lot of Christian audiobooks and spiritual knowledge, things like that, because I'd rather be listening to that going down the road than something else.
Yes.
So I think that's important as well.
Amen. Well, we are so glad that you are here. I'm trying to remember. I don't think you were in all four, but you've been here the last couple, right?
Just this one.
Just this one? Oh, okay. I thought you were here last week, too. Okay. Well, welcome. What is your name?
Brad.
Brad. You're going on my iPhone prayer list. Brad. And for protection while you're traveling, too. So it's great to have you here. Okay. What else? What else? What else have you got? We still got a few minutes. This is your time. Your time to shine. Brother White.
Two things. My brother was talking about becoming God's diamond and how a diamond becomes a physical diamond. It's the pressure. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, we were talking earlier about spiritual and emotional growth. Growth does not happen by hearing things, processing things, and having a
to-do
encyclopedia of things. It happens through experiencing and living through those things. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, when some problem comes or a big boy problem comes or whatever else, there's the reaction, and there's the reaction thing again, is to run with my hair on fire, screaming and hollering and trying to get away from that or fix that. But we can miss the growth that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the growth is living through that, learning the lessons from that, and intimating those lessons into our life. That's not to say that those things are not painful, wounding, whatever it is. They make our humanity want to run with our hair on fire. But if we say we trust in God, sometimes we just have to sit down and say, God, this is out of my hands. I'm a mess. I'm a pile of hot mess, and I can't fix it. You're going to have to fix it. And when we do that is when the true lessons come in seeing what he does to take us through.
Right.
He doesn't take us over the mountain a lot of times. He doesn't take us around the mountain a lot of times. He takes us through the mountain so many times.
So that builds our faith, builds our trust,
and
that's how we grow.
And then the second thing is when we live our life as a to-do list, I got to do this for God, do this for God, do this for God, we'll get all wrapped up in that, which that's our life, but sometimes that becomes the totality of it, and it always reminds myself by saying, when I get on an airplane before they take off, they say all the stuff, and one of them is, this is the oxygen mask, and they show how it drops down, and then they say, put this on, and then they say, well, if you have family and friends, put yours on first, because you can't help others if you don't survive.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So true. So these trials and these things we go through, they're growing us spiritually, but it's not just about us. It's so we can help other people, share our experiences, share our stories, and help build them up in the faith. Very nice. Yes, Suzanne.
Just a small thing. I was thinking about yesterday, I was listening to Brother Woodward online, and he said, we all know, like, Wednesday night is just boring Bible study, you know, and he was talking about coming to church.
Not our Wednesday
and
nights.
Like, you need to go back and watch our last Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Like,
that was awesome.
I mean, it was amazing, and that's why it's so, so, so important to not miss yes. any service, because you never know when it is your the Lord is going to speak directly to you. And I was so tired that Wednesday night. I told my mom, and I even told my daughter, go back and watch our service. And I was like, we sang the old choruses, and it was just so refreshing. And I left there and felt like I had just been refreshed for the whole week.
Yes. Amen.
I don't know how people do it. You know, it's that middle of the week, but it was amazing. And
yes.
I'm so thankful that we have that here.
Yes. Well, what I loved about it, seeing our pastor rejoice like that after what they had just been going through and are still going through, but they got through the worst of it, just made my heart so happy that we could rejoice with those who rejoice.
Amen.
And so I was shouting all around my house and everything Wednesday night, because I have to stream too. We drive an hour and a half one way, and my husband's always gone for work. He travels. So I just have my own little shouting service at home in my kitchen and in my living room. And I was just so happy that, you know, aren't you thankful for a church like this where the Spirit of God moves, and we get to listen to Brother Woodward right now at 11 o'clock, which is awesome. I don't know that I'd ever heard him preach before, but everybody kept telling me how wonderful it is. I'm telling you, I cannot get that sermon out of my mind from yesterday. If you haven't, if you couldn't be there, go back and listen to it. It is just phenomenal. I want to go back and listen to it again and, you know, get more out of it. But awesome. So let's pray for the 11 o'clock service, and let's pray that God will use us, like Brother Boggs said, to use what we've learned to help other people. Brother Freeman, did you have something?
You know, I truly enjoy services like this, you know, because the Bible's an iron sharpens iron. And you know, just picking up bits and pieces, you know, of what other people say really, truly helps me, because if you keep it to yourself, you like Molly said, it plunks into a dead sea situation, and you can't, if nothing's going out,
that's right. It's kind of like the living water we were talking about. And I, thanks for saying that, because I appreciate everybody's participation, because we do. Iron sharpeneth iron. We are helping each other by being in these pathway classes. I think are really, really working well. People are liking the small group. It's time to go, but if you could say
real quick. One quick thing. A friend of mine said recently, be a river, don't be a lake.
Which goes along with what Brother Freeman said. Yeah, awesome. Well, let's pray real quick. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, God. Thank you for this opportunity to come together at CLC to worship you, God. We ask your will in this service that we're going to attend. You are our focus, God, and we are so thankful for you and your mercy and your grace. Help us to take what we've learned through these pathways and use them to help other people, Lord. Use us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.